Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Don't forget, coming up at 9:20, that's not that far away, you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Caps take on the Canadiens in a potential closeout game this Wednesday, April 30th at Capital One Arena. Just listen for your cue to call at 9:20, and you'll be going to the game for free. That's the way we do things around here. So keep listening for your chance to win. I believe joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. John, good morning. How are you?
What up, fellas? I'm good.
You rested up a little after the 3 days?
Well, it's really kind of like 4 days, because like Sunday with the RFK stuff and
all right,
kind of added to a little bit of the day, and then up and out at about 5:30 yesterday morning for everything yet downtown. So it was a long, productive weekend for this franchise.
Hey, we'll get to the RFK thing, but were you surprised that we were just kind of talking about it? Were you surprised Adam didn't trade out of a couple of those spots to gain more selections?
Only a little bit, because I knew what you know with Adam, he's clearly a best player available guy. If there's a guy that you really like, you're going to sit there and take him.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's four guys you like, you can maybe trade back. And then, then it depends on what are they offering. If they're only offering like a late round pick, like it's not worth it. You know, if you can get like another third or a fourth, well, that's a little bit different. But I don't think that was the case.
Right.
So
right.
In that scenario, no, I'm not surprised. And plus, what I knew is they wanted to improve their offensive line. They wanted to get another offensive lineman. So if you have a guy that you really like sitting there, and you're not sure if dropping back, if that guy's going to be, and if there's a gap between him and the others on your board, you take that guy. That's how you make yourself a better team. And if you feel good about that guy, you don't need, the extra picks are lottery tickets, right? So if you feel good about this guy here, don't overthink it. And I think that's kind of what happened. But I don't think they had an offer where it's going to be like, oh my gosh, you just turned down an extra third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anything was like that. I think it was like late round picks.
And I think also, I kind of said before that I wouldn't be surprised if they stuck with him, because they did so well, I thought, sort of in the offseason, filling out needs that,
right.
What's the big difference between five picks and like maybe a couple seventh rounders? And is there a big difference between an undrafted free agent and a seventh rounder? I don't know that there is.
In this draft, I don't think there is a big difference. And what you'd hear from teams is that like the sweet spot in this draft was like rounds 2 through 5. And so
right.
When you get to 6 and 7, you have a lot of guys who are staying in college because of NIL money. So you're getting guys that maybe in the past, and not in all cases, but you didn't have the same depth in those rounds that you may have had in other years. So, yeah, I think part of what helped them is knowing that they had 9 draft picks last year plus a couple undrafteds make it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you combine these two classes, well, now the average is what? You have 14 draft picks over the 2 years. That's an average
plus
amount, right?
Plus, obviously, so if you look at it and you add Debo and Tunzel, who they traded for,
right.
I mean, they're like picks.
Right.
So,
and Lattimore was the other trade, too, that they used picks for. So,
yeah,
like you have to – all that's taken into account. And I think while it would have been good to have other picks, I think it's better to get guys that you really like.
Right.
And not like, again, if there's like – if it had been Connolly and multiple other tackles there or guards or whatever, that they say, well, we like all three of these guys equally. One of them is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if I think with Connolly, like he's a guy that there were some teams that in their understanding were ready to move up for him or take him higher in the draft. So knowing that, then you stick to your board and you pick it and you don't overthink it.
Yeah. So from my perspective, just being, a diehard fan, but I'm not like some college football guru. I know these guys. Love the first 2 picks. It wasn't like I'm some genius on Connor. I didn't even know the guy. I know you, though. You had him on your radar because I listened to one of your pods, and you said I had three guys, and you know, maybe you had taken Harrison and not the hint. But anyway, he was on your radar.
Yes.
Now, was that on your own, or did you get intel?
I knew that there was definite interest here.
Okay.
And I knew that they wanted to improve the offensive line. And the other guy that I really had on my radar went higher was Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So like that was another guy that had he been there, but of course he went much higher. And but yes, you know, so I knew all that. And he also fits a lot of what they want. He's an athletic tackle. He can move. They like pulling the guards and tackles, so you know, blocking out in space, et cetera. But I just, it started with the knowledge that one, I knew they had interest, and two, I knew that they wanted to improve that offensive line some more and really, really build a wall in front of Jaden Daniels.
So, so I love that because just from researching from afar, you know, I was like, wow, these guys could both go in the first round. I actually, in my little mock picked Trey Amos in the first round. And one of them that we had done. So I love those two. And then I have to say like in last year, like all those guys, I think made the team and, you know, if they were healthy, a lot of them made contributions. But I remember when they made those selections, I didn't necessarily, it didn't make sense to me at the time, maybe based on position or whatever. Ended up working out, right? This go around, I just loved them from the jump. Like, all of them, I love, okay, this I see what they're doing here. This guy's got speed. Yeah. I see what they're doing here. This guy's got size or whatever. Like, it all just makes sense to me from afar.
I agree, and I think for sure, and it's funny, I was telling someone else almost the same thing last night, like the picks make sense.
Yeah.
For what they, for not just, you know, for the style they want, for who they are, and for what they're looking to develop. Because, you know, the linebacker from UCLA is, he's going to be a, you know, he's the guy who can run. He can play a hybrid role for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to have a bigger guy in that role. Whether or not he plays right away on defense, I mean, sixth round pick. But he can help on special teams, too, because he's a bigger guy who can run, right? You know, he makes sense. Jalen Lane makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had some speed. He's also, he could be a little bit of a gadget guy for Cliff Kingsbury. Like, you know, at Tech, he was, you know, a lot of reverses, end rounds, you know, quick throws, whatever, get him in space. But he can help you, but he helps you as a punt returner right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so even the running back, very physical, runs with violence. You know, there are obviously a couple things. You're not, I'm not, we didn't see him against high level competition, but he was productive, right? And I think he gives you at least a little bit more depth there. And possibly with him, the one thing I wonder, like if he had played all year in Arizona, does he go higher? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So do you get better value out of him? Because that it would have been, you know, I think going into this, the two areas I felt for sure they would get with running back, offensive line, and but I wasn't sure if they would get one, maybe running back a little bit higher with a little bit, you know, different change of pace stuff. But I think what you just need are more good players. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, but I agree with you. I think they all make sense. I think you can see a role for them, whether it's right now or down the road, because it's hard to get your six-round picks and seven-round picks don't typically come in and contribute right away.
Right, right.
But if you can develop them, then you're good. And that's, you know, the more guys you can get in there that you can do that with, that you feel you can do that with, the better off you become.
John, can you speak to how important relative athletic score is as a metric to Adam Peters and his staff? And for people that don't know what that is, it's a measurement of a player's athletic testing in relation to both size and historic results, because all five of the guys that they drafted scored high relatively in that metric.
Yeah. And same as last year too. The lowest last year was Mikey Samristil, believe it or not. So he was the only one under nine last year. So yeah, I think it's, I mean, this is an athletic sport and it's the change of, it's the quickness, it's the change of pace stuff. It's, you know, the 40 time is great, but very rarely is anybody just running a straight 40 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So everything else is about, you know, the quick movement, quick bursts, and explosive. It measures explosiveness as well. And so I think, like, that's what you're looking for, those kind of guys. So, you know, I think it's, you know, I mean, it is very important, but it's just, it measures. It's hard to, it's always hard to measure football traits because you got to put on the film. Like, you want to, if the guy has a high RAS score and he doesn't play well, there's an issue. But if he's playing well and he has that, then you got a guy who can probably translate to the league, right? Because that's what this game is. I mean, if you're a corner, it's the 40 time is important. You know, you can't run slow, but if your short area quickness is very good, then that's what they're looking for, because so, it's the breaks on the ball. It's
for,
you know,
sure,
it's change of pace, you know, change of direction, et cetera. It's all that stuff that is really more equal to football movement.
All right, so they took one undrafted free agent that they signed and one that they drafted. You know, the kid from Virginia Tech, whose scores are like, you know, his testing is off the charts, but looks like right. He's going to be more of a return guy. Could you see a role for him, though, as a receiver? Because that kind of speed, though, can take it to the house.
Yeah.
But then they signed Ja'Cory Brooks, who people may remember from Alabama. I don't know if they saw what he did at Louisville, but who is not like a test freak, right? I think he ran like a 4.6, 4.7, something like that. But he's got a bigger guy who can make some contested catches, which is, you know, played it on a big stage. He's a very intriguing prospect to me.
He is, and the hard part at receiver will be they do have good depth there, so you can have a guy like that on practice squad,
okay.
assuming he doesn't, you know, just have this wow type of training camp, right?
Right.
Otherwise, that's a great guy to develop, right? You know, we've seen other guys here who have done that. Take a chance on a big guy who can develop, right? With Lane, you want to find a way to use a 4-3 guy on your offense.
I agree.
So, you know, and it's not like he's an undrafted late round guy. He's a fourth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things I would feel pretty good about is Cliff Kingsbury will find a way to get a couple packages to include him. I just don't think it makes sense otherwise because of the threat it provides. And it wasn't like at Tech that he was just always going straight down the field, right? It's not just running a bunch of go routes. You can use that speed in different ways, and you can stretch the field horizontally as well, just by you know, the way you use him in motion, some of the reverses, the jet sweeps, whatever it is, you can stretch it horizontally as well as vertically. But you stretch it horizontally, and now let's say you have Terry on one side, Deebo Samuel coming over the middle, this guy running like a little jet going out to the flat. The defense is going to have to honor that, maybe, right? In theory, on paper, that maybe it stretches the middle open a little bit more for Deebo. You know what I mean? So, like, there are ways that speed can trickle down to help other people as well. So you would be doing a disservice not to find a way to get speed on the field. How much he plays, I don't know, but, man, it just wouldn't make sense otherwise.
Talking to John Keim from ESPN.com, covers the Commanders for them. He joins us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. All right, so you wrote about the scene at the National Press Club yesterday, the announcement to move the Commanders to RFK. What were your impressions overall of Josh Harris and everything that went down yesterday?
I mean, it was a pretty cool moment for the franchise in the city, you know, and like it's been a long time coming. And to be honest, it was a little bit surreal because every time something like this happens, you keep thinking back like 2 years ago, could you ever have envisioned what's transpired, you know, like to get where they are and then to strike an agreement with the city to get back to RFK. I mean, a couple of years ago, there was like if you had to divvy up the percentages, it was 20 to 25% that they'd get back here. And then it kept slowly inching up. And then when Harris took over, it goes up more. And then with what happened in December and getting the provision in there, then it shoots up to like, it's almost not a lock, but it was pretty darn close. So, you know, it was just surreal. And I think there's still work to be done because you have to get the D.C. Council's approval. And that's, I don't know how easy that's going to be. But, you know, I think it was a good moment for the franchise in the city. And there are a lot of people who are excited about it. And, you know, I think it was kind of surreal.
For
fans it is too, because like they've come so far so fast.
And you know this as well as anybody. The previous regime was trying to do this, and I guess they just never had a shot.
They had no chance. And I know you guys talked to Mayor Bowser today, and I talked to her in December, and she basically said, like, you know, Josh Harris coming in changed this process. And that's a paraphrase, but he did. You know, people did not want to work with Dan Snyder. They wanted to be associated with him. And they knew it was trouble and it was never going to get done. And so when Josh Harris came in, it changed everything. But when you're around the people that they've hired, Mark Klaus, the president, just the people they bring in, it's just a different level, right?
But Snyder would have never put up $2.7 billion.
Didn't have it.
Well, he didn't have it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, but even if he had it, I don't think he would have put it up. He wouldn't put up his own money.
No, you got to get a bigger yacht too. Don't forget.
Yeah. Hey, John.
But yeah, I don't think. But he would. I don't. And even if he, you know, Josh Harris is gonna. It's not like he's got. You know, he didn't write a check for that, right? You've got to still raise the money, and you know, the more. I don't know. I think some people have a better ability to do so, and I think Josh Harris does. And so, but yeah, there's no chance. For a lot of reasons, there was no chance it was going to happen with Dan Snyder.
For sure. But what makes that press conference different than Ted's press conference in Alexandria?
And that's well, there's a couple, you know, I have some.
I could give you some, but I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I think that, well, one thing is, I think maybe, maybe they didn't read the Virginia political climate as well. Mm-hmm. And because, like, that was an instant, you know, there was going to be a problem here.
Yeah.
And so I think that was one. I think Mayor Bowser has shown the ability to get stuff done here.
Track record.
So I think it's because you're talking about different locales. It's not it's a sports team, but it's not the same state or same area. So, I would say this, until the shovel is going in the ground, I don't know what's going to happen. Right. And so, but I do think there are differences. I think the other thing is too, when you look at, this is what their pitch is going to be to the council. When you look at this, like, what the Commanders are paying for the stadium. The city is not paying, you know, they're paying for the stadium. The city's developing other areas around there, the housing, et cetera. So, you know, there are no taxes being levied on the residents, et cetera. So that's going to be their pitch to them to see, like, this is not just public funds for a stadium here. Right. So, you know, is that going to be successful? I don't know. But I do think there's a better chance of this happening here than there was of the Wizards staying in Virginia.
All right,
John, what do you think?
Oh, I thought there was a lot of things. I mean, for one, we had one of the residents.
I mean, Goodell was there. That made it pretty.
Well, I remember when the Alexandria thing went down. We had the resident, you know, one of the leaders that lived over there in that Delray neighborhood or whatever the hell it's called. And that guy, he was completely unfazed by it. He was like, "Dude, it ain't happening.
It's not going to happen.
Trust me, it ain't happening."
No,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think there's definitely way more of a chance of it happening here. I think it's the coincidence is the timing, but I don't think the situations are the same.
Right.
John, thanks as always. We appreciate the time. That's John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. He's on the Rude Guest Hotline. Thanks as always for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. We're going to take the ninth caller right now at 800-636-1067. What are you going to win? How about a pair of tickets to round one home game three for the 2025 playoffs? With the Capitals taking on Montreal this Wednesday at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com. Ninth caller at 800-636-1067. You win. Props to Jason from Glendale, MD. He was the lucky ninth caller for the Caps Canadiens ticket. So he will be going to the game this Wednesday at Capital One Arena. So props to you. Thank you for listening.
Very cool. Earlier we were talking about Bill Belichick and his girlfriend in the interview. Mm-hmm. Put up our poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can, only 100 calories, with zero carbonation for easy sipping. You can find Surfside at your local bars and in convenient variety, 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. And it's what you guys were betting on. Will Bill Belichick and his 24-year-old girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, still be together in a year?
Jordan.
Yeah, I'm on the no side.
77% right now say no.
Oh,
you can
really?
Vote at Junks Radio.
Okay. We'll see how that plays out.
Well, but this way, I don't see him breaking up with, and I don't see her breaking up. I don't see the scenario. That he is her meal ticket, although she's now reached a level of celebrity that she can now probably date anybody else, so she could move on. And he, I mean, he obviously loves having sex with her. I mean, let's be honest.
I would imagine.
What else could he like?
I mean, I don't know. I guess the JP thinks they're soulmates.
I just remember early on, I don't think they're soulmates, but early on there was talk that didn't he say things like that? Like she was an older soul.
She's his muse.
And she apparently has been with older guys before. Her move should be to find an even older famous guy next.
Someone closer to that?
Who's older and more famous?
I mean, Bill Belichick. Harrison Ford.
He's 73. Yeah. Like, there aren't that many famous older guys to go to.
You could find some old dudes. Dude, I just saw.
Clint Eastwood's still kicking his
ass. Clint Eastwood. Yeah.
And he's more famous, I would say.
I saw.
You hey, you know who's still alive?
Yeah.
If she has a type, Marv Levy.
If you could, he's got to be close to 100.
99.
Dick Van Dyke.
I mean, he's substantially older.
Yeah, that's true.
Levy's substantially older than Bill Belichick.
Dude, I saw pictures of MacGyver yesterday. They had him on like some of the racks that like TMZ caught him.
He was Richard Dean Anderson, is that his name?
Yeah, he's all gray and earthy. He
was MacGyver beard. 40 years ago.
Yeah, he's an old man.
Of course.
He's getting a haircut, a beard trim or something. I don't know what he was getting. And it's like, whoa, he's got to be like 70 now. He looks like he's 70.
He looks all right.
He's 75.
Pictures.
75. MacGyver's 75. He's going to die any day. Any day now, his number's going to get pulled.
I was never a big MacGyver guy, personally. Oh, wasn't anything I got into.
Great show, Cakes.
Just personally.
I got to believe that show's dated with all the technology.
I would assume.
Right?
Yeah, I can't remember all the tricks he would do.
I mean, MacGyver aired from 85 to 92. So yeah, it probably hasn't held up very well.
I gotta say I was a big MacGyver guy, although I can't remember any of it, but I did love it. But I can't remember anything, so what does that really mean? All right, let me tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment. Of course, driven by BMW of Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax, ask for Miriam. She's the general manager. She'll take care of you, set you up with a silly sales assistant. Of course, you can check out their entire selection of new and pre-owned, certified pre-owned vehicles at BMWFairfax.com. All right, lot to get to. I'm actually just seeing this now because I know I tweeted about it. I'm not sure if we talked about it, but Gil Arenas' son was in that horrible car accident. They say he's walking, talking now after the crash.
It's good news.
They took him out of the induced coma, maybe within 24 hours. They say he has a lengthy journey.
Was he driving the car?
I think so, before getting back to 100%. But jeez. I believe he has a road to a full recovery.
Well, the video was terrifying if you saw it on TMZ, where I guess like a good Samaritan went in and pulled him out of the wreckage because he was inhaling smoke inside the Cybertruck.
I don't think I want to see that.
And then he's like writhing around on the ground in a puddle of water because I guess he hit like a fire hydrant.
Right.
There's water shooting everywhere. Mm-hmm. He's squirming around like trying to stay alive.
Right.
I mean, it's harrowing.
Yeah, he was put into the induced coma, not for necessarily like a brain injury or anything. It was severe smoke inhalation.
It could have been like the, what was the actress's name who drove into the house again?
Yeah.
Anne Heche.
It could have been like that.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
I don't know.
Because isn't that what killed her?
Allegedly.
Ultimately?
There are a lot of theories around
well,
there,
I mean,
buddy.
I know
yeah,
she
allegedly.
Was under the influence, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's just a horrible story.
So good news for Elijah Arenas. Long road to recovery, but hopefully he can. You know, obviously smoke inhalation, that's what killed Brett's brother. Mm-hmm. You know, terrible.
Yeah.
Thing.
Awful.
This is interesting to Uncle Kenny and some others. Toby Keith, who, you know, passed he was a horse guy, though. And one of his horses, Render Judgment, will officially be his first horse to run in a Kentucky Derby.
Okay.
So think about Toby. That might be a good horse to root for. Is Render Judgment, is he one of the faves? Is he mid horse?
I think it's a longer shot.
Long
shot? I think
shot?
It's like 30 to 1.
What's his name? That.
Render Judgment.
Render Judgment.
Does Jason Worth have a silly
Render Judgment
in the field?
Is currently 31, correct.
Yeah.
Who's the fave? Is it journalism?
Yes.
Hey, we're going to get an expert on Friday, pick some fatties for the Kentucky Derby.
Well, you should get Rick on.
Book Uncle Kenny.
Get Uncle Kenny. And
I told Neil Greenberg last week. Neil asked to come on. Talk.
Okay,
oh, good. Okay. Good.
Hey, can you imagine if you co-owned that horse with a bunch of dudes and you get that percentage after he died?
Oh.
In the Derby sweeps.
Why? Oh. Hold on. Is that what happened?
I don't know. Maybe he only. I don't think he owned all of the horse or owned it outright. He probably owned it with a bunch of other people.
Okay, so you don't think his family would get that percentage? Oh, they're not just going to give it up.
I don't know.
I mean, somebody.
Is his family paying the stable fees and everything?
Probably.
Have you guys written Mama Grizzly? Yeah. Your guys will.
Yeah.
You know, when my dad passed, his farm got passed on to my mom, and she pays the fees every year, you know, for the seed and all that. Yeah.
So it's still an operational farm?
Oh, yeah.
Up and running?
Yes. My mom makes income from it.
How many acres?
It's a small, it's two fields. It's like 80 acres.
It sounds pretty substantial.
No, it's not substantial, but it's two fields.
Main crops grown. Soybeans?
Well, everything out there, corn, soybeans, corn. That kind of stuff. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but mom has to pay to pay for all the fertilizer, for all the feed, and you know, all
the combines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your silly uncle passed away, right? That was running the farm.
Well, no. Duke runs the farm. Duke runs the farm, but now his son runs it.
How old is Duke?
Duke's got to be like 95. He's talking to my mom the other day.
Oh. He's still running a farm at 95.
Duke's son.
Wow.
Duke's son runs the farm.
Okay, his son runs the farm.
His son
Duke just oversees everything.
Son,
it's called delegation of laborers.
But his son is probably like 65.
Yes, yeah,
Duke's
no spring
like 90
chicken.
Something. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But yeah, mom pays the. Got to write.
Is Duke going to be buried on the farm when he passes?
That's a great question.
I don't know. I'm just asking questions.
I don't know, but I was told that if we want to sell the farm. Which, by the way, I'm pro selling the farm. I'm okay with it. Let's just cash in and get some dough. But I was told that we got to give Duke's family the right of first. They have to have the first right. And they're going to want it.
Because they're going to want to keep the farm.
It's in the family. You know what I'm saying? They're going to want it. So, not that you guys care about that. all right, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The class of 2025 inductees.
I'll give you the dings or the buzzes as to who's worthy.
All right, let's go through the worst ones first.
All right.
The Musical Excellence Award. And the only reason why I say this is because I've never heard of them.
Okay.
So I'm sure they're excellent in music, but I don't know what they did. Tom Bell, Nicky Hopkins, and Carole Kaye. Maybe they're journalists or
something. Not sure who any of those people are.
Maybe they're songwriters. I don't know what they are.
I got nothing.
I'm sure they're excellent. All right. Musical Influence Award. Cakes will mock one of them. The other one he'll have mild respect for.
All right.
He will mock.
I may surprise you. I may not mock.
All right. I got $2. Valdez, $2. He's going to mock this one.
Okay.
The Musical Influence Award Hall of Famer. You're going to mock Salt and Pepper.
Actually, I'm not going to mock them.
Oh,
there you go.
No mock.
He just did that because you set it up.
I mean, let's be honest.
If you didn't do your preamble, he would have mocked it. By the way, that deserves to be mocked.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Salt and Pepper had some hits.
Yeah.
But I do not see them as some sort of musical influence that changed the game.
Not the biggest fan.
You could say that for 75% of the inductees.
Hold on. Iconic female rappers.
Yeah, they weren't the first. They weren't the only.
Okay, but duo.
What happened to MC Light?
They're pretty noteworthy.
I'm not saying they weren't famous.
MC Light couldn't carry Salt and Pepper.
This is me not mocking Salt and Pepper.
All right.
I can't call them Pepper.
I think MC Light was a better rapper than them.
Maybe, but they were bigger. All right.
Yeah, I'd probably agree.
This one you won't mock. Warren Zevon. Is that how you say
Zevon.
His name?
Zevon. Yeah.
Zevon, yeah. You won't mock.
I don't know who it is.
I don't know much by him.
Who is that?
He had a hit. I know, right before he died of cancer.
Did he do Werewolves of London? Is that him?
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't name anything else by him.
All right, here we go. Ready? Performer category. These are the big sillies.
Okay.
Some are kind of hurting. White Stripes. Didn't have a long run.
White Stripes pretty good.
But they got
pretty
in.
Solid.
I'm a huge fan. Soundgarden.
Soundgarden's pretty damn good.
Cakes. Will begrudgingly acknowledge, but it doesn't want to like them. Outkast,
hugely influential. Hey Y'all was just maybe the biggest hit of the last 30 years.
And we thought it was going to suck.
We didn't like it.
I called it hurting.
Right. This one, I didn't really care about it. Cyndi Lauper.
Hugely influential. She was huge act in the 80s.
Yep.
I have very little file. I mean, I've seen him interviewed, and I know he had a million hits, but not my guy. Joe Cocker.
Yeah, he's not really my cup of tea, but I guess he deserves enshrinement.
Chubby Checker.
Man,
I feel like Chubby Checker should be in there.
I thought he was going to be
in about Chubby Checker. Got it.
The great, twist?
Great
did
name.
Did he do the twist?
Chubby Checker, I believe, did the twist, yeah.
Chubby Checker, Hall of Fame name.
Yes.
He's like one, of the, one of the first rock artists maybe of all time. So, yeah he's got to go in.
Chubby Checker and Fats Domino.
Fats Domino did Blueberry Hill.
All right.
That was his big claim.
But they're in the name Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Great names.
Unbelievable
Fats
names.
Fats Domino,
unbelievable. Chubby Checker, great name. And then this is also a great name. And you'll mock me because I don't have a big file on them. Bad Company.
Bad Company's kind hits. Of underrated.
What's their big one? I don't have a
Rock and Roll Fantasy, probably.
How's that?
That's
go?
One.
Are you singing?
Also, have to play.
Bad Company song, the same name as their band.
I'm sure I've heard big it one. 7 million times.
Yes, you've heard.
You know how we talk about certain Hall of Fames?
Superstar, I believe, hit.
Yeah,
being more liberal than others.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to be the most liberal. Like they throw anybody in there. There's no standards, in my opinion.
Their umbrella for what is considered rock is very large.
I mean, it's...
Well, even beyond that, just to say it's the Music Hall of Fame. They put everybody in.
Yeah.
You know how, Major League Baseball sometimes will have one person get in?
Yeah.
That'll never happen with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No.
And the Rock Hall of Fame is located in Cleveland. Probably the only reason to ever visit Cleveland.
Cleveland's
unless you're going to like a Commanders drab. Road game against the Browns.
It's pretty drab and
like why
gray.
Else would you
haven't planned your road trip to go see Shedeur Sanders yet, Cakes?
I haven't done that yet.
Your favorite player?
I have not.
I'd say the Basketball Hall of Fame is close to the Rock.
Yeah, they
Hall
had a lot.
I mean, you literally dribble basketball for 5 years, they put you in.
They'll put referees in.
They put a bunch of numbers in that thing.
Plus, it includes college, so you can suck
international,
as a pro.
Yeah. They got no standards.
Zero standards.
He'll get mad, but like they'll throw in Adam Morrison in there.
Yeah.
It's Grady Gonzaga.
Right. Right. Great college hooper.
Even he's not going to battle you
well,
on that.
Did you mention Soundgarden? You already mentioned
that. Yeah. Black Hole song.
They should have.
Yeah, Soundgarden.
I can't believe it took this long for them to get in.
I can't believe it took this long for Chubby Checker to get in. Just for his name.
I mean, he's probably been dead for 40 years.
I would think.
Yeah, he's probably still alive. How would I know? I have no clue. All right, when we come back, we will debate the viral argument and hypothetical that has taken the internet by storm.
Don't say what it is.
I'm not going to say what it is.
Big tease.
We're going to pick sides next when we come back. All right, I don't know where this argument spawned. I don't know the genesis of it. But if you've been on the internet, if you've been on Twitter for the past 5 days... The big argument is, who do you take in a fight? Mm. You can take one of two sides.
In a fight?
In a fight.
Okay.
Okay, on one side, you have 100 men. You have 100 adult men.
Mm-hmm.
That's on one side. Mm. On the other side, you have one fully grown adult gorilla.
Oh, jeez.
Who do you got?
I take the 100 men. Now
I'm taking the gorilla.
I'll take the 100 men. Now, here's the problem.
I think I'm taking the 100 men, except but this is what I don't know. What is the endurance of a gorilla?
Better than all the men.
Yeah.
Here's the problem.
Yeah, but I think it might get tired out.
If you're
the 100
men, you have to huddle up, okay? Yeah, and there has to be a leader. Somebody's got to just take control.
Can't do that.
Okay?
We're going to have 75 of them die.
Where did this come from?
I don't know where it came from, but it's a great hypothetical.
Okay.
But one guy's got to take control and say, look, all right, This is going to be a nightmare, okay?
Yes.
That freaking gorilla weighs 800 pounds, and all it wants to do is kill every one of us.
Well, if he weighs 800 pounds, he can lift 8,000 pounds.
Sure. So none of the
men will be able to get to him.
No, you have to go up to like 15 to 20 guys and say, you guys are the tip of the spear.
You guys are going
to
die.
You guys are going to die, or
you guys are first off at Normandy.
You guys are going to be, you are the guys getting out of the boats when the bullets are flying.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are going to either die or be maimed by this animal. Right.
I'm with you, Cake. So I think I think that you're going to lose a lot of men.
Sure.
But the gorilla's going to tire out.
The more men you lose, the worse your chances are.
No, because it's going to tire out.
Yeah, You got to send that first group, like you send a wave out, and you have backups.
I don't think you're tiring out a gorilla.
It's like Muhammad Ali against George Foreman.
Well, hold on. How are the men going to kill him? How are the men going to kill him? Do they have weapons?
No, no, barehanded.
They're just going to keep hitting him, choke him.
Yeah, you got to choke it out.
A human can't choke a gorilla. No, their heads are this big.
10 people might be able to.
Dude, you know how strong a gorilla's bite is?
For the record, I'm team gorilla.
It's stronger than a great white shark.
I understand.
So he would bite them all, and they're all done.
Now, again, this group of 100, you're going to take a bunch of L's.
Of course you wouldn't.
You might lose 80 of the 100.
Yeah.
But I think eventually you're going to wear that gorilla down.
Yes.
And the humans, whoever are left, are going to be standing at the end.
The humans can rope-a-dope them and then beat them late. But it's a tie here, so it could end up a tie. Let's go behind the glass because it's 2-2.
Got two
EB
gorilla.
And Bish.
I'm team gorilla.
Yeah. Kind of a team cakes. It's not a good place to be.
The humans definitely can outsmart the gorilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, but gorillas are very close descendants of humans. Like, they're smart too.
But I've watched the movie Congo a billion times. They're butt strong. I mean, apes are butt strong.
Yeah, they're
athletic. I mean,
they're jacked.
They would toss every one of those humans.
They break them one at a time.
And then the humans need to work together to beat the gorilla. I don't know if they could.
I don't know if they could.
So are you got to place your vote.
Gorilla.
Drag, gorilla. Are you gorilla or 100 people?
Honestly, I don't think 500 men.
How big would the gorilla be? What's a grown gorilla?
Just say it's
gorilla?
800 pounds.
Oh my God. 800? Gorillas get to 800 pounds?
I think they can.
Yeah, I mean, they've got no shot. There's a viral video out of some alligator, like tamer guy or whatever, in Florida, okay? Because one got loose on 95.
Yeah, it was like a 10-footer.
Yeah, it was like a massive alligator.
Yeah.
I'd rather jump on top of a 10-foot alligator that's probably 500 pounds than be one of the 100 that jumps on a gorilla.
Of course you would, because you can jump on, if you're trained to do it and you got the balls, you can jump on top of the gator, and all you have to do is duct tape its dumb mouth shut.
I understand, but I'm not trained.
If you can do that, Then you've subdued the alligator.
You've neutralized him.
Now you can't duct tape a gorilla's mouth shut.
Correct.
Like that thing has fangs that are probably as long as his pen.
I might have to change my opinion because once I started doing a little research, they say a silverback gorilla is stronger than 20 adult human beings combined.
Right.
Yeah. So they can lift 1,800 pounds. And they say if it just punches you one time, I just don't know about the endurance.
The endurance.
I think he's got plenty of endurance.
They could run the Daytona 500.
I switched my vote. Two reasons.
Yeah.
That and I don't want to be the on cake society.
Now, if this gorilla gets a hold of whatever they were taking on Planet of the Apes, the reboot. I can't remember what it was, but whatever made Caesar smarter, do you remember what it was? Whatever compound they gave to Caesar and the other
made
apes
them a smarter
to make them
gorilla.
Smart, then I'm clearly taking the gorilla. Like, if it's an enhanced gorilla, I'm definitely going to take the enhanced gorilla over 100 humans. Now, it also matters what sort of humans are you pulling the...
Yeah, if you're pulling 100 ROMs,
if you're
then
pulling
for sure.
100 like guys that are the size of Josh Connerly Jr., then I give the... The human's a good shot, but if it's like 100,
I still don't.
100 emo kids at Warped Tour, no chance.
I still don't
no
give.
Chance.
I don't. I still don't give offensive tackles a shot.
I'm generally with you.
But if
he would toss Connerly like he was a football.
But if the gorilla is biting Bish Bucks, okay,
he's gonna bite him right in the neck, and all it's right? over.
Yeah, and you have a plan. Couldn't the other people like kick him in the nads?
Maybe. I know, but now you're depending on a human to sacrifice himself.
I mean, that's the plan going in.
Well, that's the thing.
You're just gonna have
and
to.
And then as soon as you lose 20 guys, everywhere. You lost 20% of your power.
Yeah.
I mean, each guy you keep losing, you're more done.
Yeah, but he's tiring out. It's like a Royal.
He's not tiring.
It's like the Royal Rumble, EB. Do you know the Royal Rumble? The last guy in probably has the best chance.
You're not
because these other wrestlers have been throwing people over the ropes for 30 minutes.
But it's top of the food chain, man. That guy ain't tiring out.
Yeah, that's an apex predator in there.
Yeah.
You're probably not. Why we don't wear him out.
Huh?
That's why we invented weapons.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Right, to take down larger foes.
Right.
Like, people realize, well, we can't We can't kill this animal with our bare hands. We need to develop a musket or a revolver.
Slingshot. It probably started with a slingshot.
Or a cannon.
I'll tell you what. I would pay to see that fight, though. I'd pay top dollar. Oh, yeah.
I'd buy that on pay-per-view, 100%.
Would you pay, like, if there was real life, like gladiator stuff or whatever, like, where people fought to the death and stuff, would you pay to watch that?
100%. If you told me you have 100 death row inmates that are... Yeah. They're going to go to the great beyond at some point.
Right.
And they're going to
fight for the order of death.
Fighting a gorilla to death? I mean, I'm there. I'm the first guy buying.
Yeah.
You're going to take my money.
I can't do it.
I could certainly do it.
You watched beheading videos. So.
I have. Yeah. I'm not proud of it, but I have.
How the hell you?
It's on my resume.
I mean, is that not haunting?
It's pretty.
If I say that right now.
It's pretty horrible.
Yeah. Does it give you terrible imagery?
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah.
You know what's better?
Yeah.
Winning free Caps tickets. And you can do that throughout the day up until 5:20. So keep listening to 106.7 The Fan for your chance to win. Beamish and Finley, they're coming up next.